a G-O-M-A. We the team, Christ be the king forever. They sell greed as need, but we know better. Tell the enemy that he can get an E forever. I know you got bills.
Hey, everybody. This is Sarita.
This is Simone.
And you're listening to Clean Ears.
Yeah.
What it do, girl?
Girl, listen, I'm just out here living this life, trying to stay awake, working this job, you know, just everything. And trying to not catch a cold because it went from summer to winter real quick.
Sure, like in a week.
For real. How you doing?
I'm all right. On the lookout for a haircut.
Hey.
As usual, but all's well in my world.
So, what's going on? Not in the world.
Nope. Sorry, you will not be getting an election recap. You will not be getting our feelings on nothing. Because it's still too raw for the
Yes, and honestly, Clean Ears is a space for us to have a good time. And that's what we're going to do. Nothing less. Oh, yes. People are all over the world, although not in this room, and maybe not even all over the world, are preparing for us to go into Thanksgiving week.
Oh, that's America's holiday.
Mm-hmm. So, Sarita, are you doing anything to prepare for Thanksgiving?
I am going out of town. I will be going to see my best friend in Chicago.
Yay!
Hopefully, I'll also be able to see some family as well. But we are going to cook. I think this is her first Thanksgiving cooking.
Oh, snap. Say what up to Chance.
What up? You know, if I see Chance, I'll let him know that the fam loves him.
I need to know if his city is really doing front flips. That's what I would like to know.
I'll ask the question. They probably are with that hawk coming around the corner. They hit you the wrong way. You're like, oh, Lord.
Exactly. And are you cooking a dish this year,
my dear? Yes.
What you making?
I will be cooking two of the dishes. I will be doing the Cornish hens, and I will be doing the baked mac and cheese.
Oh, snap.
Yes. What about you, girl? What is your holiday prep looking like?
Well, I am thankful that being a non-American, I've got mad options in terms of whose house I'm going to eat at. Because my family are... We don't really know how to, like, cook turkey and such.
No one does. That's why it's so dry.
See, and we don't want no parts of that. So typically what we do is we just find an American, and we kind of just split up for the holiday, and everybody's kind of free to do whatever they want, and go find an American if you want your American experience, and then we just come together and eat Jamaican food for Christmas. So, my intent is to do some house hopping. I'm thankful. I don't expect that I'll be cooking anything. I will probably just be showing up to people's houses with beverages.
That's how you do. Yeah.
Yes. I'll cook for Christmas, but for Thanksgiving, I kind of get to chill out, and that is wonderful. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to just eating good. Hopefully wherever I land, they're cooking good. No Black Friday, though.
Right, nah, we good.
Yeah, nah. What I do is I like to look online. The ads are available early. If there's something I want, I purchase it online, have it shipped to the store, and I want no parts of those crowds, of the cold, of waiting outside. Nah, I'm good.
Team, no lines. I don't like lines.
Not at all. Have you ever been to Black Friday?
I have. When I was in college, my roommate's family, I went for Thanksgiving every year. And they like to do the Black Friday thing.
What's the craziest thing you witnessed on Black Friday?
I've never seen a fight. But I just see people with, like, carts on carts. Because you always got clothes. Carts on carts of clothes. And you'd be like, why do y'all need... Like, they just took whole sections out.
Dang.
No one's trying stuff on. They're just buying it.
Dang, the way y'all's budget is set up sounds lovely.
I think they just did that so they could take it home, try it on, and then return it if it doesn't fit, but then they could just get out of the store. But then you just have ridiculous amounts of clothes.
I did Black Friday all of one time, and I didn't witness anything crazy either. People were pretty chill, except that as soon as they opened the doors to the store, to this Best Buy, people went flying in there, though. But I will shout out to that Best Buy, though, because they were mad efficient. They were like, listen, we have however many of these TVs. If you are here to get this TV for the low, We're passing out vouchers until we run out. They walk through the line. They were like, hey, guys, we've given them all out. If you do not have a voucher, you ain't getting this TV. So do what you will. So I thought that they handled it really efficiently. What I thought was kind of cool was that a guy whose restaurant was next to the Best Buy opened up his restaurant and was taking orders and delivering food in the line.
No, but that's smart.
It was smart.
That's a boss move.
Heck yeah. And we kind of became a little community of people. Like somebody had one of them little hand warmers. So they were giving us little hand warmers. We could keep our hands warm. We were sharing all sorts of equipment. We were just trying to stay alive. And I was just like, why am I doing this to myself? I will never do this again because I like inside.
For all my retail people, I've worked Black Friday.
Eesh.
I worked the first Thanksgiving that people decided they wanted to shop on Thanksgiving. So the stores opened late Thanksgiving, and it was a Sears. So we were open from like 8 on Thanksgiving Day until all of Black Friday. So it was overnight. And I worked overnight.
No.
And the store was not equipped. The lights actually went off. Like all the electricity went off in the whole building. The gate went down. Like you couldn't even get to the mall. So people were freaking out. They got their...
That's hilarious.
People were mid-transaction. I was in the tool section, which apparently is super lit because the tools go on sale.
Yeah.
Tools are expensive.
Girl, yeah.
I found this out. I don't have any mid in my life, so I don't know.
I have one drill.
Right. So tools are expensive. They're buying their tools on sale. This is when you get all your little credit cards. You know how you do with retail. You get that extra boost when you get people to sign up for credit cards.
Okay.
But then the lights went out, and then the lights came back up. People had to redo their whole transaction. I mean, people were doing $500, $600 in tools. It was ridiculous.
Wow.
And the longest 12, 14 hours of my life, and I will never, ever, ever do it again.
Shout out to everybody who works retail and to everybody who's going to be working on Black Friday. I'm going to sleep in for you, and then I'm going to enjoy my day for you. And hope you receive that.
Yeah, we're gonna pray for y'all. It's deep.
So is there anything that you dread when it comes to Thanksgiving? What is the one thing where you're like, you know what I could do without? That.
No. I've always had a super small family, so there's no like beef. There's no issues. There's no like random uncle that you had to punch so he could stop talking. None of that.
Okay.
So
okay.
My whole Thanksgiving has just been real chill.
Okay, cool. Well, you know, because I'm usually not with my family. If stuff goes left, I can just leave. So I don't really have nothing to dread because normally when people meet you for the first time, they're super nice. They don't start showing out until that second visit.
Plus, there's little to no traffic. It's like breezing through the...
Sometimes, though, because last year, traffic was super thick. It took me a smooth hour to get to my sister's house.
Is there a football game?
No. Girl, she lives in Gwinnett. We weren't going through the city. We were just sitting in traffic for no reason. So you know what? I say there is traffic on the holidays, and if there's anything I'm dreading, it's that. I feel like y'all need to be at home with your family so that people who are not that invested in Thanksgiving can swirl around in these streets in peace. Do that, please. This episode of Clean Ears features music by No Big Deal, Aaron Cole, Jay Quest, Shope, Transparent featuring John Gibbs, Eric Kingsley featuring Jay Gibbons, Deep Height, Social Club featuring Marissa Jerome, and Player. Please visit www.cleanairshow.com for the full versions of these songs and a few more that we're listening to. We hope you enjoy what's in our headphones. So we were just about to jump right into the conversation topic, but then something happened. I was recently faced, like today, with a dilemma, and I wanted to just rant about it for a very short period of time. So here goes.
Yes.
I would like to rant about this weather because I'm trying to understand if it is spring, summer, fall, or winter because I've seen all of it today. Mm-hmm. I had on some fallish clothes. I feel like I'm sweating and I don't know why. I went to Starbucks and I was like, am I getting a cold drink or a hot drink? I didn't know what to do. And I feel like it took me a long time to place my order because I was really trying to figure out how me and this weather and my drink order were going to work out together. It was tough. I'm stressed out. Pick a season, Atlanta.
So I, instead of ranting, I will rave because I'm very excited about this thing. And here we go.
Go for it.
Starbucks, you have done it again. Bring back the red cups. And you did. And there's 12 different kinds. homies, we are excited. I love the look. I love that we can have something for every part of the season. If you like Santa, go get yours. If you want some Jesus on yours, there's a manger. If you want to do Hanukkah, mazel tov to you too. Look, I love this. I wish they actually sold them in a way. You know, Starbucks need to come up and have limited edition cups so that I can get myself one. This is a good way for me to start celebrating the holidays before we get right into it.
Yeah. So as you can tell, we apparently just went to Starbucks. So thank you, Starbucks,
yes,
for low-key in some way sponsoring or at least making this rant possible and rave possible.
Yes.
Thank you for just existing and being in Target because two birds, one stone.
Yes. Thank you. Speak that sponsorship into existence. Go on, Starbucks.
Kirk Franklin and ambitions of a rider, both in me. Like the devil worked for God, huh? Flow simply. The lemonade out of life that I squoze gently. See you waiting for the drums like the cage empty. I'm free like this album was. You ain't gotta lie, Craig, you got it free. Long as you give it your full attention, that's fine with me. Long as you Robin Hood and you share it with someone else. Long as you tell them that number 8, man, that's something else. Especially riding to it, you can tell there's something else. Heard all these rappers, I could tell you I'm something else.
I'm so excited, and I just can't hide it. We are finally revealing the winners of the gift card giveaway.
Yay!
I want to thank everyone who reviewed our podcast online on iTunes. It was very exciting to get all of these reviews. And the winners are...
Hello!
Brittany Noel!
Ah!
Yay! And Tavia 1983.
Woo!
You two will be receiving, word from us on how to get those gift cards.
Yes.
But we're just so excited and so thankful. And even though the giveaway is over, you can still review us on iTunes, guys. It is such a big deal.
Yes. Review it, please. But not if you're not feeling it.
Right.
Rate it, but not if you hate it.
You know.
Thank you guys to everybody who participated. We appreciate it so much.
Yes, and look out for more amazing, fun things happening very soon.
Yes.
I really ain't turning down nothing but my collar. Feel me before you hear me, young scholar. If Peter Piper picked a pair of peppers all up in your garden, would you guard it with your life or would you pardon him? Oh, no, they started him. Here we go again with metaphoric type symbolism. Huh? I can't help it, I'm a helper like some tuna for your hunger. So turn me up like I was playing tuba for drummers in a marching band. I came in, I saw and I conquered, okay. I know who I am, if I don't, I just pray. There's a harp in my heart, so like David, I play. And if that's not your pleasure, okay, then just shake. I'm about to bake it up, I know one way to trust, and that's in God, I'm in a jungle.
So, what we're excited to talk to you guys about today is money. And before we jump into it, because we got a lot of exciting stuff to talk about, then we're just going to say a quick prayer. So close your eyes unless you're driving. Let's go. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time that we get to come before you and talk about how to live for you and how to please you. Lord, as we go into this conversation, we ask that you just speak through us, Lord, and that this message just resonates with the people who are hearing it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Mm.
So I know some of y'all a little like, money? Why are we talking about this? But I think it's a good time to talk about it, especially right before the holidays when some of y'all are going to ball out of control and then have all the regrets on January 1st.
Out of control is the operative part of that statement. And we've been wanting to talk about money for a while because it's something that we're pretty passionate about. Hashtag budget life is such a major thing in our circle, in our households, and in our lives. And we wanted to talk about money, not in the conventional way that we hear about it in church, which we appreciate very much, but in a way that is true to who we are. So we're going to hit you guys with some scripts and some tips for how we manage money God's way.
Exactly. So one of our first scriptures is found in Matthew 6:24.
It says, "No one can serve two masters, for either you will love one and hate the other, or you will hate one and love the other. You can't serve God and money."
Scripture.
Whew, did that off the dome, y'all. I was scared.
I didn't even get it.
I was so afraid.
We know the word.
Okay.
So I was like,
okay, I'm ready. Sarita ran away.
She's went and got her Bible.
What I do is, because it's so easy to put money over God and not realize it. So the self-check that I give myself is, what do I think about when I first wake up in the morning? What I found was, I like to pray and read the Bible and worship first thing when I wake up. But sometimes my first thought is something I have to pay for, something I have to take care of. If it's payday, I want to check my balance, see what's popping, watch that number look beautiful for a second before I pay everything. And especially if I get some sort of alert on my phone in the middle of the night, I'm wanting to see about it. And I found that there have been several mornings where I would be thinking about money and things pertaining to money before I got into my time with God. And what I did was simple. What I'm thinking about as it pertains to money is valid. There's nothing wrong with that. But then I would say, okay, before I look into all that, let me get my God time in. Let me read my word. Let me worship. Let me pray. And after I finish that, then I can look about this. It's not going anywhere. Nothing is going to change in my devotion time. I can spend time with God first and then look at it. And in a lot of the circles that we run in, friendship-wise, and for us as well, we're really passionate about stewarding our money and budget life, and we got spreadsheets on spreadsheets, and we got goals and we got plans. And when you're stewarding your money in that way and you feel like, oh, I'm doing this the way that God told me to do it, even that can become a bit of an obsession. And I've learned that it's important to think about it, yes, but make sure that I'm not exalting it above God.
That is so very true. I feel like a lot of times we do get anxious and start worrying about what our bills are going to look like, what's our money going to look like, you know, how can we get to the next tax bracket? We're always planning and trying to get better or do more or have more. And I feel like that anxiety or worrying about money is a way that you start to worship money. Mm. And you can start to put that over God, because he really does say to be anxious for nothing. In Matthew 6:27, just a little bit farther down, it says, can your worries add a single moment to your life? And for me, because he talked about money right before that. He's talking about provision right after that. It all goes together in that when we're worrying about our money, when we're worrying about how we're going to live, when we're worrying about how things are going to happen with our money, without our money, how we don't have enough, if we have enough, then you start to really put that over God who provides for you. God who has all the money, who has the cattle on the hill. He is the beginning and the end. And so he has you. He has and I understand, because I've been going through this and I go through this often. I feel like we all do, where you get to a place where you just start to worry, and you worry really, really hard. Or if you really have a goal that you're trying to meet and you're not meeting it, or if you're trying to get debt down and then you look at it, your spreadsheet, and you're like, it's not going down. It's not going to happen the way that I want it to. Or if you have a goal and you have to push it back another year, it makes you feel like you're not enough, that you have, that you yourself have to make it better. And if we remember that God has everything under control, and that he has goals for you that's even more than your own goals for yourself, and that he will provide for you and make a way when there really is no other way, then you can start to take that anxiety away and your worry gets less, and you can really remember that your worries cannot add to the solution. It only makes the problem bigger.
Yes, and it's easy to, in the midst of all of that, get on social media and you see people going out and having nice dinners, and people are traveling and they're shopping, and ladies, you know, girls bought new hair, and you're just like, why? I still got the hair that I had last year. I got my own hair. I can't even afford other people's hair. I'm just stuck with what I got. I want extra hairs. And it's really easy to see that and start to feel anxious about the fact that, well, you know, my situation ain't moving, or it's my situation's not allowing for me to be able to do those things. Mm-hmm. And it's like, there can be some anxiety and some tension with that as well. And I love that scripture that you shared, because it's right in the same place as one of the scriptures that keeps me together when I'm going through it, where it says, when Sarita was saying it talked about provision, the word says that God takes care of the lilies of the field and the birds of the air, and they toil not. And are we not greater than these? Well, then yes, he will definitely take care of us. And it helps sometimes to be mindful that the things that we see on social media don't allow us to get frustrated with our own money situation and then become anxious and allow that anxiety to consume us. Because again, as Saritha said, that can be a form of worship. Mm-hmm. So that's another self-check to kind of keep things in perspective. Another scripture that that we absolutely love and live by for managing our money is, he who is faithful in little is faithful in much. I had to learn that my paycheck is enough. And now I know there's some times where you feel like your expenses are greater than your income. And I understand that. I've sat down, looked at my money, and I've realized that, okay, there are things that I can cut back. There are areas where I can save, and there are things that I can do. And sometimes I may be living a super minimal lifestyle, but I had to get into a place where I really came to understand that my paycheck was enough. Because if I kept coming to God, like, you need to give me more, you need to give me more, I need more, I need more, I need more, without acknowledging that provision has already been made and thanking God for that, then it puts me in a place of feeling like I can't do certain things until I have more. Mm-hmm. So then I'm deferring my giving. I'm deferring, in some cases in the past, my tithing and so many different things, because I'm feeling like, well, what I have is just not enough. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do this. I can't do that. And changing that perspective, understanding that my paycheck was enough and starting to thank God for the paycheck I had, God started showing me all sorts of things I could do with that paycheck. And life's been lit ever since.
That's so true. That's one thing is that I've heard before, and I don't know if people are still saying it because it is so whack. But I heard people saying that I need more money, or I deserve more money, or God knows that I need more money because I have expensive tastes. So I like nice things, and I should be able to have them no matter what I make. And y'all tripping. That is not going to be a good steward. You're supposed to be faithful in what you have, not try to live an extravagant lifestyle because you like nice things. Now, you can save up and get something and, you know, something nice for yourself, and that's great and all good. But you can't be living recklessly, not paying bills, paying stuff late, trying to live a lavish lifestyle, and you're not being faithful in what you're given, because God rewards those who are faithful. He's not the type of person who blesses people who are not really thinking ahead. If you look at the parable of the good steward.
Oh, I was about to say that. Go ahead.
The good steward was the one who grew what he had. He wasn't spending what he got. He was like, okay, you gave me what, 10? I'm going to multiply this bad boy. And then you had the dude who was like, well, I don't know what I'm doing, so I'm going to bury it. And then at least you got your one back. God is the type of person who's like, yo, whatever I give you, let it grow. Let that actually move into something instead of being all about yourself. And then I can bless you with more. The people who have a lot are those who give a lot. That's just how that goes. That's how God works.
Yes. And I've seen situations where another self-check that I give myself is where I'm starting to feel anxious about money. I'm immediately like, okay, God, I need to give. And it doesn't have to be a ton of money, because sometimes I'm not in a position to do that. But immediately when I find myself getting anxious and I'm too, like, I'm on my spreadsheet several times a day, clicking away and moving things around, I'm like, uh-uh, Simone, you've become too obsessed with your own money. You need to give. You need to think outside of yourself for a second so that you understand that at the end of the day, I'm the hands and feet of God. And it's my responsibility to take the money that he's entrusted me with and use that to further his kingdom. So even if it's as simple as just going online to see what missions trips are coming up and seeing who's not funded and throw $10 on a trip, it doesn't take a ton of money to reset your heart. Mm-hmm. It just takes the act of saying, wait, let me do something really quickly.
Yeah. It's a big deal. I've done it before. I've given the last little bit of cash that I had on hand to someone because I was like, I don't want to be attached to this. I don't want to start worrying. I don't want to get into a place of where this money has a hold on my heart more than God does. And so I was like, I'd rather give it away.
Yes. And that's what, you know, being faithful means. You're full of faith. I'm trusting that God is going to make everything happen for me. I'm trusting that God is going to take care of me. And just like in the first tip, the scripture about not being anxious and about God taking care of the lilies of the field and the birds of the air, it's a reminder to me that God is going to take care of me anyway. If I'm faithful in what I have and I trust God when he says to give and I trust God when he says that everything is going to be okay, then everything is going to be okay. And it's a learned behavior. And it took a while for me to get to that point. But I'm at a point now in my faith and the way that I trust God with money that it's like something will happen and immediately I'm like, well, God, you would not put this need in my life if you didn't intend to meet it. So I'm going to just chill out right here. I'm going to pray about it and I'm going to wait for you to tell me what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so it's something that you can cultivate. And so if you feel like you're not there, be encouraged. You can get there. It starts with just changing a couple of different behaviors, maybe upping your giving by just a little bit. And then from there, God will multiply that and begin to change your heart towards being faithful with the paycheck that you already have, so that once you get the increase that you want, you'll know exactly what to do with it and you'll have a healthy, godly mindset about how to use your money.
They don't understand us, yeah. We don't look down, just up,
yeah. That's so political.
As we're falling, you know the tension is growing and everybody be hoping that we just turn to ashes. Don't think we got it, they counting on us to drop it, but we burn bright cause we know it, they hoping we turn back like it.
Our third scripture, we don't even gotta go into it, it's in Malachi, but it says to bring your tithe.
Bring all your tithe.
Bring that whole thing in. And it's so important because one thing that I like to think about is that 10% is obedience. That's the tithe. But 100% is God's.
Yes.
That's the whole thing. He's offering you this paycheck. He's allowing this money to be in your hand. And so what you do with all of it is part of your worship. And that has helped me so much because it's in my mind. I'm saying, yes, God, thank you for this place that I live, that you have allowed me to have the rent for that. Thank you for having the lights. Thank you for the food on my table because you have provided all of that. And then I'm able to help other people at the same time. And it doesn't hurt me to help others because it's not mine to give. It's God allowing that to come out of my hand. And then he allows even more to come in my hand. It needs to keep flowing that way. Flow out.
Feels like blessings keep falling in my lap. I agree completely. And I also think that tithing first is a great way to invite God into your finances because it's saying, hey, I just got this increase. I just got this lump sum and I could do a lot of things. I have obligations and things like that. But first, let me give God his portion before I start to do anything else. And I think that, inviting God in to your finances shows that you understand that all of it is God's. And God will guide you on what to do with that 90. Mm-hmm. I feel like if I am just doing whatever it is that I want to do with my money and I'm acting like all of it is mine, yes, will bills be paid? Yes, will little basic things like that happen? Yes. But what the word instructs us to do is to give our tithes so that there will be food in God's house. And it's important to make sure that you are nurturing your local church and caring for your local church that way by bringing your tithe in. And also what it does for us is it puts us in a position where we're understanding like, okay, Lord, I'm trusting you with my money. Show me what to do with the rest. I trust you. I know that you'll multiply it and that everything will be fine. And it's the one promise in the Bible where God is like, test me on this. Say I won't open the windows of heaven and have blessings fall down that you don't even have room enough to receive. So when I'm going through something that's financial, I'll be like finger in the air. Mm-hmm. God, you said that if I brought my tithes that you were going to rain down blessings that I don't even have room enough to receive. I brought my tithes. I am testing you right now. And God has never not shown up for me since I've been tithing. And so it's something that I completely live by, bringing all of my tithes, not a piece of it, regardless of what my bills look like. God gets that 10. It's easy for me to be like, oh, but it's the holidays, or oh, it's wintertime, my electric bill went up. If you ain't paying no bills right now, that went way over your head. But people who got bills, y'all know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to get into a place where certain bills increase or you have an additional expense. Oh, I had to buy tires for my car, so I got to take that out the tithe. And it's like, no, even in the midst of expenses, even when they're high, it's like, God, I still trust you. And I know that you're going to take care of this because that's what your word says you're going to do.
That is so, I'm telling you right now that I have sometimes aggressively made that same statement to God of being like, yo, where it at? Because
clap it.
Where it at? I have been in that place of where you're like, Lord, you promised when I've been on my knees, you promised, you said that you would take care of this. And every single time he comes through because he knows how your heart hurts when you don't have enough. And he knows that sometimes when you start tithing that first, you're like, Lord, this is a lot of money.
Bruh, what is this car note?
Why is it coming out of my account?
Why?
Tell me it's doing something. Tell me it's doing something. And again, every time it's not a financial blessing that you receive back from God, like it's not always going to be like, yo, checks in the bank.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just health, strength. It's him working in the kingdom. Like you can't expect it to always look like the same way that you got it. I mean, just because you sent money in doesn't mean money's going to come out, but God will always provide for you. He's not an ATM. Yes. He will provide.
Yes, 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 yeah. And one of the things that is super clutch for the both of us, it has been, is we had to get to a place where we were comfortable talking about money in a safe place. And that's something I encourage everybody to do. What that means is if you're not comfortable in your own household or even with yourself having a conversation and really truly looking at your money, then I would say talk to someone, whether it's a financial advisor that you know, a friend who's a financial professional, whether it's going to church, taking a class, or just talking to someone, whatever it is. Now, you can be as passive about this as you want to be. You can go online and look and see if there's something available for you. You could watch a YouTube video, see if something of Dave Ramsey's is available. I even think that he has a podcast.
He does.
And where people call in with different questions. Sometimes it's kind of tedious to sit through questions that you may not, that may not have value to you in that moment. But get comfortable engaging in a dialogue about your money in a safe place and with safe people, because if you, especially if you are young and single, or actually whether you're young and single, whether you are married, whether you have a family, whatever the situation is, you're gonna have to talk about money at some point. Now, being comfortable talking about money doesn't mean that everything is happy-go-lucky and good and well.
Nope.
It doesn't mean that you will not get emotional. It doesn't mean that you won't get frustrated or angry. It doesn't mean that you won't ever shed a tear. But it's about being able to have a conversation about money. Because as we get older and we have different goals, or we are starting businesses and we are entering into marriages, it's important to be able to sit down and say, okay, I can have a conversation about money. Things may not be pretty, but we can talk about it. And I am comfortable with having this dialogue with you, as opposed to me just balling up all my receipts. And it's like, mine, no, I don't want to tell you. Why do you need to know? And being really cagey about it and feeling like it's just some grand secret. Because at some point, as you let people into your life in a deeper way, i.e. close friendships, business partnerships, and marriage, you're going to want to be able to be comfortable having conversations. We've seen in movies and stuff like that where you see the husband will come home and he'd be like, baby, they're taking the house today. And I'm telling you, it's a real thing. You don't want to be in the dark about your own finances, and especially being in a relationship, in a marriage, you don't want to be in the dark about money or to not know how to have conversations, whether good or bad, uncomfortable or not, about money. It starts there. Even if you have debt, student loan debt, it may be in the hundreds of thousands or whatever. I don't know how much college costs.
I know people who have it though, especially if you got them double degrees. Y'all got letters behind your name. I know you got money.
And it's like, it could be uncomfortable. It could be daunting. You could be like, I don't want to face the beast. But I say, get comfortable talking about it. Even if you're walking around your home and you just want to talk about it out loud, get comfortable having a dialogue and saying it. I have debt. I need to work on this. Man, I'm like broke right now. Whatever the situation right. is, you know, be comfortable to talk about it so that you can do something about it and not be living in fear of what your money is doing, acting as if it's this separate agent that's operating outside of your control.
Yes, very important. So just to bring it all back together,
yes,
we're talking about you can't serve both God and money, so you pick a side.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be faithful in a little so that God, you can be faithful in much.
Yes.
And you got to bring your whole entire tithe to the storehouse.
Ten. And I hope that these money tips helped you guys out. It was actually kind of fun putting this together, mm-hmm, and going through it. And I know we've both seen the benefit of applying a lot of these different things to our finances. And we've seen our relationships strengthen for being able to have conversations about money as we have a business together.
Yes.
You know, as we go through things for Clean Ears, it helps a lot to be able to have full disclosure about funds and what's going on with that and what we're able to do, what we're not able to do. And it's been super beneficial to us. And hopefully this blesses you as well. Any last words? Are you good?
No, I'm straight. Oh, right. We will definitely be doing more podcasts on money because there's so many pieces to go through. We might do one that's just about budgeting. We might do another one that's about, hey, how to be a cheerful giver, stuff like that. And so look out for that in 2017.
Yeah, I like that. I just heard about it and I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. Sounds great. I'd like to be there. So guys, we would love to hear your tips about how you honor God with your money. So hit us on Twitter at clean_ears and tell us your money tips. We would love to apply them to our lives, share them to our listeners so that we can all just be right in serving God and glorifying God with our dollars. And with all that being said, we're going to pray it out. Bye, heads.
Unless you're driving.
Unless you're driving.
Keep your eyes on the road.
Live, please. Financial tip number one. Live. Dead man can't spend no money.
Dang.
I'm sorry. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this discussion that we were able to have, Lord. It's just so edifying to be able to talk about how to honor you with money. Lord, we just ask that this message resonates within all of us, that it even encourages myself and Saritha to tighten up with how we spend our money and how we glorify you with the money that you've given us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Already know what it is. It's the return of my favorite game that I seem to suck at. Bible beans.
It's really real, guys.
So today, duking it out, we've got Adam in one corner,
mm-hmm,
and in one other corner, because they just can't ever seem to hold it together, Eve. Okay. So we have learned that although my voice is deeper, I, Simone, will be Eve, and Saritha is going to be Adam, because I don't know, this is what Courtney said. And our scenario is, we are taking a road trip, and Adam does not want to ask for any directions, typical man. And Eve, because women are efficient and like to get things done, is like, but these directions. So, without further ado, we're about to get into it. Bible beef, 1 minute on the clock. Let's go.
Bam.
Babe, I really need for you to pull over and ask for some directions. We are lost. We have seen this tree like 3 times.
It's the tree of good and evil. It's always there. We are going in the right direction.
I'm getting hungry. Like, I mean, there's a snake over there, but it doesn't look very scary.
Girl, the last time you ate something, we ended up in this car. I need you to stop.
But I'm hungry.
You're always hungry.
We can ask him where to go. I'm sure he'll tell us. He looks harmless.
Why are you talking to snakes anyway?
Because he can talk. We talked before.
I need to talk to you about your friends then. Okay. Let me just get us to our destination and then we can talk about this.
I'm saying though, we need to ask God. We need to ask somebody. We need to get some directions popping in this piece because you got us out here swirling around.
God has already told me I am man. He gave me a plan. I know where we're going.
All I know is I've seen an angel of fire like 4 times. When are we going to get some directions up in this piece?
Do you even know where we're going?
No.
Then I know where we're going.
You don't know nothing. You don't know nothing.
You don't know nothing.
I don't know what to say. somewhere in this we got into a real argument.
That's how husbands and wives fight.
I feel like in real life we were yelling at Simone and Tariqa.
I asked for directions. I don't know what you're talking about.
She got mad when I mentioned the snake. I saw it in her eyes.
I was like, why are you talking to snakes anyway?
He was standing up. I'm sorry, the follow man is not funny. Why?
Why?
Oh my gosh. So so now we're gonna need Courtney to determine a winner.
Yeah. So no one won. Humanity lost. We all lost.
We still losing right now. You know what? Yeah, you can't pick a winner in that situation.
Nah.
I'm sad now.
I never really dreamed too much. I was always a realist. Sometimes I think I've seen too much. Can't get rid of these images, yet I resist to shut the lids on my eyes.
It's time for What's in Your Headphones.
Ow!
And we are sharing, of course, what is in our headphones right now. And you know, it's that fourth quarter, good music is coming out. A lot of people are debuting their singles for the top of the year. And one song that I really like that's out right now is from No Big Deal, and it's called Purple Dinosaur.
Tribe on the Move. They gon' say that I went soft on this one, yeah. Yeah. My mama love me like a rock, my mama love me, yeah. I knew that since I made a room up out of tummy, yeah. I knew that cause she put that food inside my tummy, yeah. She told me how to turn that gloom into a sunny day, yeah. She say that love's not just a verb, no, it's an action verb. But I've been thinking
this song and this artist actually is giving me all of the Chance the Rapper vibes, and I love that there is an even more Christian alternative for some people who just couldn't take any of the cursing or anything that's going on in the Chance album. You'll have someone who still gives you those vibes, that some of that carefreeness, a lot of the good message, and who's a Christian artist. It feels so good. It's Purple. He's talking about Barney, guys. Like, how can you not be happy listening to this? And right now, in the current situation that we are going through, it's always good to have some music that makes you feel happy. Also, huge shout out to Instagram, because our followers on there are always showing us new music. They're always mentioning us in the comments so that we're able to get the jump on some new music. So huge shout out to you guys.
Nice. Well, this is Simone, and what's in my headphones is Aaron Cole, Can't Tell Me Enough.
Hey Cole, let's get it. I stepped over my fit and I'm shooting the ball, now I'm scoring. Took a dollar in a dream and I got up and I went for it. Oh no, had got my fam and I told them boys that it's dub time. Going straight to the top, but don't let me get vain like a bloodline. Let whoever do whatever, we just keep getting better. Funny people talking, they ain't doing no better. Always put your dance, you up, you eating, but Christ friends play him, so I'm guessing we even. Enemies, got a lot of enemies. Low key, got a lot of frenemies.
I really like this song because I like the sound of his voice. He both sings and raps, and so I thought that was pretty cool. And he was really good at both. And also, I like the production on this track. What really did it for me was the beat. I love the sounds that they used. And I just enjoyed it. All in all, just a really great listen. So that's Aaron Cole, Can't Tell Me Enough. No comment.
About to go.
Time to get up out of here.
Yes. So guys, it's time for us to exit stage left for the night. And before we do, gotta say thank you to Courtney P for holding us together. She was not feeling well. She was laid out on the sofa, but she was still working. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just shout out to Courtney. You know, it's the holidays. Hopefully we see some cookies soon. Just putting that out for everybody to hold her accountable.
Yes, everybody hold her accountable. We want some cookies. We're part of the family too.
Yes.
We also want to give a huge shout out to those who are loving on the blog. We definitely appreciate it. We did go through a little bit of Thanksgiving break. We'll be back before the end of the year with a couple more. So be ready for that. Blog is always popping. You're going to check that out on the website.
Yes, that website is www.cleanearshow.com, and you can access all of our past podcasts, our playlists. You can access our prayer corner.
Yes.
You can also access, just like Saritha said, the blog, and you can also access our social media pages. Follow us on Twitter, on Instagram, like our page on Facebook. And just stay up on what we're working on, what we're doing. See these amazing graphics that Saritha is slaying on a regular basis, like it's her full-time job.
Almost.
And just enjoy the site and everything that we put out there for you guys. And until next time, have a good time.
Have a good time.
Bye-bye.
Your angel. Yeah.